Shalom, this is Billy Brim on the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Branson, Missouri, and Prayer Mountain. And I'm just back from Israel. I was there, and I'm glad I was there, during the time of the recent short war. I don't know if you'd call it a war. It was the Jews called it Operation Pillar of Cloud, taking the name from the pillar of cloud that covered them as they wandered through the wilderness. Now, they were attacked. They were attacked from Gaza. They gave up Gaza in 2005. They should never have given it up. People knew what was going to be the result. It was going to become a terrorist enclave, and it has become that. And since they gave it up, they have been attacked with 8,000-plus rockets, and they have been rained down on Israel's civilian population. Now, the Gaza Strip, which is 20 miles long and about 4 to 5 miles wide, from the Gaza Strip, it has become a terrorist enclave. Even Al-Qaeda, Islamic Jihad, there are several groups, and really Hamas can't control all of them. Sometimes Hamas will say, well, we're going to cease fire, and one of the other ones will continue to fire. But I want to just explain to you the difference in the thinking of the people who hate Israel and live in the Gaza Strip. They also hate the United States of America. They burn Israeli flags and United States flags together. And from that enclave, they store weapons. Now, they are Sunni. Hamas is Sunni. Sunni and Shia hate each other. Shia, Iran is Shia. And Iran's operating primarily through its well-organized terrorist group, Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is in southern Lebanon, and they are Shia. The Sunnis, Al-Qaeda, is Sunni. Neither one of them is real kind. If you thought, because Osama bin Laden was Sunni. So the Sunnis in Gaza, however, have and Hamas have been financed by Iran and Hezbollah and Iran. And so I explained to you yesterday that when we were in Jerusalem, we did not think as civilians that they had the rocket range to hit Jerusalem. But because of the FAJR rockets that Iran had supplied them, they were now able to hit Tel Aviv, and they were now able to hit Jerusalem. So what they do, what the Hamas does, is they rain down, they want to hit in Israel. They want to hit schools. They aim at schools in Sderot and other places. They aim to hit people, civilians. The Israelis never aim to hit a civilian. Now, Brandon, I want you to get up over there, some of those things that you found on the Twitter, IDF Twitter, and to the extent that the IDF, Israelis armies, named the Israeli Defense Force, and they take every precaution not to hit civilians. But it is the case, just as it was with Saddam Hussein, and just as it is with other terrorist groups, they put their civilian population, they'll put a school right in a place where they're making bombs. They'll put their bomb factory actually right in a school or right in a neighborhood, because they want the Israelis to hit civilians, and then they want to scream out to the world that Israel is treating them in such a terrible way. Now, I'm going to get Brandon. This is my grandson, Brandon, and he's going to be reading to you some things that he took from the Twitter, the IDF Twitter.
I saw this Twitter on the news. They were talking about it. It was right when I think they called the operation Pillar of Defense.
Pillar of Cloud. Mm-hmm.
And right whenever that started happening, they started looking into the Twitter because they were getting all this information. That's how the news agencies were getting their information. So I got on there and started following them, and you could see what they post and stuff. And they posted this. I thought it was very interesting. It says, what has the IDF done to minimize harm to civilians in Gaza? Phone calls, thousands of phone calls and text messages were sent to Gaza warning them of IDF strikes in the area. leaflets. Thousands of leaflets dropped over Gaza warning civilians to avoid being present in the vicinity of Hamas operatives. Aborting airstrikes. The IDF has called off airstrikes when pilots spotted civilians, even when missiles were speeding towards their target. Roof knocking. These loud but non-lethal bombs warn civilians that they were near a target, giving them time to leave the site. Pinpoint strikes. The IDF has targeted terrorists with pinpoint strikes, minimizing harm to bystanders and as much as possible. And then it says on the other side, what has Hamas done to minimize harm to civilians in Israel? Nothing. Hamas's goal is to kill Israeli civilians.
Absolutely. And I know that that has held them back. You know, the feeling of the people, of the Jews when we were there, the feeling of the people was, go on in, get the job done, don't stop, don't make a truce. Get us out of this constant reign of terror that we've been living in since 2005. So, Brandon, and I know the Hamas, they're dancing in the street. They're saying, we beat them, and Barak resigned from being the head of their defense, IDF. And so they're saying, we beat them. And Barak left. Really, he had planned to leave earlier. But they didn't win. And we are told that the IDF did make some really, really strong cleaning out process. Can you watch the time and also read us some of that or not?
Yes, I can. Which process are you talking about?
What did the IDF accomplish? What did they get accomplished?
How many people and stuff? Let's see.
Yeah, you know, what were their accomplishments? I know they killed some of their leaders. I know they wiped out some bomb factories.
The IDF targeted 1,500 terror sites, including 30 senior Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists, 19 high-level command centers, 980 underground rocket launchers, 140 smuggling tunnels.
That's where they're getting those Fajr rockets.
66 tunnels used for terrorist operations, 42 operation rooms and bases owned by Hamas, 26 weapon manufacturing and storage facilities, and dozen of long-range rocket launchers and launch sites.
So they did do a lot of damage, and well, we'll just believe that it'll hold things off for a while, but we do know that then they rearm when there's a truce, when there's a silence. Now, when you're thinking about whether they went in with ground troops, one night we had as our dinner guest little Yara. We've been knowing Yara since she was a little bitty girl. She's Ronnie Levy's daughter. And she's in the IDF now. She's 19 years old. My Hannah's 21. And they're really close to each other, you know, and so they sat together. And Hannah asked Yara, what is it like? And Yara said, it's so different. She said, before it was always my dad going to war, my dad going into Gaza if they had to make a stand. And she said, now it's my friends. And they're like in their 20s, early 20s. Most of these are young people. And so we prayed with her and told her to read. She has an important job. She's stationed at a very precarious place along some borders that have hostile villages. And she said, it's hard to see my young friends doing the fighting because they're so young. And she said, it's very frightening. So they have a young army. They did call up the reservists. In Israel, you stay in the reserves until you're 45 years old. So they called up thousands of reservists this time. They had to call them up so quickly that they overran their logistics. At the first, they couldn't go into Gaza, make any kind of a ground attempt because they didn't have food, frankly, and water for all these thousands of troops that they had called, their reservists. So if you would like to do so, they have a program by which if you're an EMT, you're a fireman, you're a doctor, or you're just an able-bodied person that would like to help. They have a program in Israel where they will take you there and you will train for 3 weeks to be an ambulance driver, to be whatever. and do it their way. And then you go back home to the United States or wherever you're from, and they call, whenever they have to send out 30,000 reservists, that some of those people were their firemen. Some of those people were their EMTs. So what you do is then you go in and you take their normal position while they go stand on the front line. So I'm sure that happened. And if you want to do that, you can go on to Christians United for Israel, CUFI, and I'm sure they have a place there that you can click for volunteer help. And it's quite an army. Most of the regular army, all of the regular army are the young ones and then the leaders, the older career soldiers. But then they have up to 45 years of age that you're called up whenever you are needed. And they were needed. They called them up, I think, one time 30,000. And that's quite a lot from a little country like Israel. They've only got 6.5 million Jews that live there. And so we talked to Yara. We also went up to the Galilee. And there we have a house right next to our property that we want to look into buying for our Migdal Arbel place. And I went down to the place of the Jesus boat. And it's a boat that they found when the waters were down low. And Alexander, he's a Jewish man returned from Russia. And I said, Alexander, we want to go up and look at the house. And so he took me up there and he said, when we get there and we get on the land, I want all of your group to pray with me for my son. So we stood on the ground, that holy ground of Israel to him, out in the beautiful garden next to the house we're making an offer on. And Alexander said, I want you to pray for my son, Omer. He called me last night. He's in the Navy, and he told me where he was. He said, I can't tell you, but I need prayer. So we all gathered and prayed for his son and for his safety. I told him to read every day Psalm 91 out loud and to tell Omer to read it out loud every day. And then the next day we found out where his son was. His son was in the Navy off the coast of Gaza. And for one of the first times, so maybe not the first time, but for, they were very important, the Navy this time, operating from the coast, the Gaza coast. So if you want to remember to pray, I think that you can do it like this. You can pray down through Yara for the young soldiers, and you can pray down through Omer for the young sailors, and stand with them for their safety. We know that the God of Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. And so we do also know that judgments are being, votes are being counted, God's seeing who is against his people. And we have those two little new books that we put out just for $2 each, Judgment of the Nations and How They Treat Israel, and the other one, God's Promises to Israel for the Land. We want you to have them. They're just $2. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying Shalom.